Let's check on this Friday afternoon the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Good afternoon to you, Eric. Thanks for being here for the day. Let's start with the hurricanes, and then we'll move into what the hell that might or might not mean across the rest of the growing seasons and regions on the planet.
Yeah, there's actually four areas I'm watching. Three are in the Atlantic, and one is actually in the Pacific. And if I can, I'll start in the Pacific. We have Hurricane Genevieve, who's rapidly dissipating in strength, but it will be moving up toward the coast of California over the next 4 or 5 days. And as it does so, it's interesting. Some of the models are actually pulling the smoke over those horrendous fires in California into the circulation that's left over from Genevieve. And as a result, it's not only going to be blowing that smoke to the east toward us, but also to the west out into the Pacific Ocean. But the bigger story, I think, is going to be what's coming out of the Caribbean today. That would be Tropical Depression number 14, and then also Tropical Depression number 13, which is sitting just to the east of the Lesser Antilles. From yesterday to today, the latest model updates suggest that both of these systems by next Tuesday will be in the Gulf. One will be near Florida, the other will be near Texas and Louisiana, and both are anticipated to come into the Gulf Coast states. And as a result, we're expecting heavy rainfall. What's uncertain in that part of the country is how strong they're going to be at this point. Before, there was not much indication that we would say they would be above tropical storm in strength. Now, this morning, the Hurricane Center is saying, hey, latest model runs plus the lack of some wind shear and better moisture suggest that they might get up to hurricane strength, which if they both do form, that will give us letter L and letter M, which would already put us 3 weeks before the climatological average, we'd already be put past normal on a hurricane season. And we still have, like I said, September 10th is the peak of the hurricane season. So we still have all of September and October to go through, which are very active. So this very hyperactive season is something that we're going to be concerned about. Now, just for corn, soybeans, you know, and stuff like that, this is not going to be a major deal in the near term with these next two systems, but they're going to be coming into the Gulf Coast, and we're going to watch it carefully.
Yeah, it's really wild. I made note yesterday, you mentioned the smoke, that Don Day, who joins us on Tuesdays in this slot, had posted on Twitter that it was smoke in Cheyenne, Wyoming, where he's located across that part of the world already, and that they were... I'm not going to say cloudy, but they had enough smoke that it really was making a difference in that part of the world. Now, right here in our part of the world, what do the 2 weeks look like this week and next?
Well, the 2 weeks coming up to this point, right, the first 21 days of the month, we have resisted heat, right? So it's been cool around here. So despite the fact that we've been dry, I mean, we haven't had much precip here in Illinois other than some scattered storms, what, a week ago. And then after that, pretty dry. Well, we haven't had much. And the forecast is going to keep much of the stormier activity in the northern Corn Belt, maybe through parts of the Great Lakes states, and then into Canada. So when I look out, while I do see chances of scattered storms over the next 7 days, nothing impressive coming through to really increase those chances. I am watching a cold front next, next Wednesday, Thursday, coming through the northern plains that might get here. But outside of that, we're relatively dry in the near term.
Do the models differ for week two? I think you told me that might be the case.
Yeah. So, you know, temperatures, after we've been pretty cool as of late, are going to start to climb back up again. So we're going to go back up into the mid to upper 80s, and parts of the Corn Belt are even going to crack into the 90s again. And through the next 10 days, there's pretty good evidence that we're going to knock down that huge ridge that's over the west, bring in some relief of the heat west, and start to push it toward us here in the midsection of the United States. Well, what's problematic for us is that when we get out to day 11 through 15 in the forecast, remember, these global models we use, they're operational and their ensembles go out 15 or 16 days. So when we look at that 11 to 15 day time period, we've been watching a trend where the European model is advancing this deeper trough farther to the east, and the GFS is leaving it back over the northwest. Well, what's the difference? If the GFS has its way, we're hot as we finish August and start September. If the European has its way, we're 5 degrees cooler than average. And in both situations, it's kind of odd because it wouldn't make sense, but it does. Both situations were stormy. So it looks as though the end of August going into the very beginning of September is going to feature more thunderstorm activity, which means we could go and finish off these beans and this corn with some good late season rain.
It feels a little early to be on this kind of roller coaster ride as it relates to the models and the temperatures. And in feels more like, I don't know, late September as opposed to late August, I guess. Kind of odd. And is there a reason for that to be the case?
Well, the North Pacific is unblocked. It's been unblocked for a while. And this La Nina is kind of waxing and waning with its strength. And at the same time, the MJO just keeps on the move. So nothing is really setting up to get things stagnant in the flow of the atmosphere. And as a result, we're getting more regular weather systems. And that's important because we move toward harvest. At this point, one of the things I'm watching most carefully is the La Nina. A week ago, I would have said, it's really struggling. I don't know if it's going to get going. And now I'm like, well, there's better indications that we could have weak La Nina through September and October and even into November, which would mean a warmer and drier finish to our growing season, which a lot of us would love. Dry that crop down in the field, not have rain interrupting things like it did in 18 and in 19. So this would be overall a more favorable look moving forward. But too many, I think, balls up in the air, too many wild cards. And the biggest one, of course, would be hurricanes.
Now turn your attention to South America. They'll begin their planting season really soon now.
Yeah, so it turns out that Rio Grande do Sul, the farthest southern state in Brazil, the government allows them to start planting corn now, and they just got some rain. So that's about the only place where they put in a full season corn crop, kind of more widespread. But remember, full season corn is only about 20% of the total corn crop. What I'm more concerned about is the fact that we've seen consistent model forecasts keeping much drier than average conditions around through the month of September to early October for like Mato Grosso do Sul, Tocantins, Bahia, Minas Gerais, that area. And that's the place where if the monsoon arrives early, they aggressively plant soybeans so that they can get them in early, and that allows them to get the safrinha crop in early. What it looks like this year is no aggressive early season planting coming out of South America. So that's going to be, I think, an important point moving forward. And the big question will be, do we actually move them over to a delay? So not just no early, but is there going to be a delay because of the drier conditions? Oh, and by the way, they're not going to go after planting that crop down in Rio Grande do Sul too quickly because we're expecting a frost and possibly even some snowflakes down there. So remember, it is still their winter in that part of the world. So it's just when they open up the floodgates and allow them to start to think about planting, but Mother Nature is going to put things on hold a little bit.
As always, thank you so much. It was very interesting today.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible.